It's time for Crave's Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout, coming to you from Pensacola, Florida. Over the next few minutes, Pastor Swarthout will share from his heart and bring you a message from the Word of God. We would like to invite you to visit our website at christiansforamerica.com. That's Christians, the number four, America.com. It is our prayer that you will be blessed and encouraged by today's message. And now, Crave's Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout from Pensacola, Florida.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Don Swarthout coming to you with Crave's Gospel Truth from Pensacola, Florida. I am very happy to be here with you today. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. As the chairman of the board for Christians Reviving America's Values, I have been fortunate enough to be invited to speak as a guest speaker in many of our churches in this country. I have also been invited to be a guest on Fox News, CNN, TBN, CBN, Daystar, Sky Angel, The C Television, TCT, WATC, and KWHD, and KRMT, and many, many others. I have been heard on the radio in all 50 states and in Washington, D.C. I have written hundreds of press releases for the Associated Press and for others. They have written articles about me, which have appeared in the nation's newspapers. I have written two amicus briefs for use by the U.S. Supreme Court and have written two books about the ACLU. I made numerous trips to Washington, D.C. in order to make bold statements to our congressmen and senators. At times, I wasn't sure that they listened to me, and I decided that nothing could be more important than when they listen. I'm not telling you any of this to make myself seem important to you. Rather, I am telling you these things to make myself known to you and to encourage you to take the same action I have taken. The key is your freedom and not losing your freedom. We are sure you are all about the freedom you have enjoyed and the freedom of our founding fathers. We tried communism once in our early days, and communism did not work out because it could not create the goals of our country nearly as well as democracy. We are proud of our freedom, the American dream, and democracy. In other words, communism failed miserably. We are also in favor of the American dream. I looked on as my friend was in his desire to become a physician. Right then, I was not willing to pay the same price as he was for becoming a doctor. Some people will do better than others. It is just that way. I am 70 years old, and I live in a comfortable house, have a car paid for, and I work for these things, but seldom did I work, from 5 a.m. to 7:30 p.m., 7 days a week, to get them. I was in part of the American dream, and my friend was part of the American dream. My friend and I each made our choices to achieve the American dream. His choices were more likely to lead to his making more money and making it quicker than my choices were. Should we be penalized for making these choices? No. We both were free men living in a free country. We never tell you whom you should vote for. In fact, our slogan has for the past 15 years been, "We crave revival in our churches and the restoration of godly principles in America." Nonetheless, we are concerned about our freedom being stolen from us by the current administration and by everyone in Washington, D.C. We are not in favor of a free nation where the restoration of godly principles in America exists, but rather we are in favor of an America which was like it was when our founders were in office. We believe the key to our happiness is having these freedoms. And we believe the key to our true happiness is having these freedoms. We have lived with those freedoms, and they were responsible for making America the greatest nation in the world. By believing in America, we were able to play a role in her success. We have looked at a long line of other governments. We believe in true democracy. We have had these freedoms, and we are not looking back to change anything. We are proud of America and what she has accomplished. We are greatly concerned. We are losing our freedoms, which happen to be responsible for making America such a great nation. We are also concerned about our nation's politicians and their attitude towards spending money. It is not their money to spend without our approval. It is our money. My public elementary teachers taught me to be proud of America and what America has accomplished. My public elementary teachers also taught me that I was lucky to live in such a great nation. Do you want to live in a nation which is considered to be the number one nation in the world, or a nation considered to be a third world country? What would be your choice? I have made mine. America is living in very dangerous times. What are you looking to do about it? God made you responsible in the first chapter of the first book of the Bible. You are to do something about your concerns. In Genesis 1:26, God tells us we are to take dominion over all of the earth, and including all those which live on the earth. He will not go against his word. He not only told us we are to do something, he told us we are to do something about our concerns. Are our concerns really our concerns? If you are concerned about freedom, what are you doing about it? You are to do something about your real concerns according to the Bible. America may lose track of God, his word, and what it means for us to live free. We must learn to say what our forefathers must have said to our enemies during World War II. They said, "Oh no, you will not defeat us because we are Americans. We have defeated all of those who have come against us so far. We will show you that you cannot defeat us, because we still believe in our having freedom. We love what our freedom means to us. We have a plan of what we must speak. The word of God must be spoken to our children, the elected officials, and to everyone else we come in contact with. First, to teach them the word of God, and he is real. Secondly, we must teach the people of the world how we experience life. And because of how we live, we learn to desire freedom." In John 8:34-36, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. If therefore you shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." In Romans 6:18-22, the Bible says, "Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. But now, being made free from sin and having become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and in the end, everlasting life is yours. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. We are to walk in the Spirit of God, not in the flesh of man. Romans 4:26 sums up the biblical thinking on God's kingdom in Jerusalem, when it says, but Jerusalem, which above is free, which is the mother of us all, we all are desire a free country to live in. What I am getting at with all these scriptures is, God follows his people with the right answer. God shall make you free, and you will be free indeed. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, and walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. In Romans 4:26, the Bible says, Jerusalem, which is above, is free. We must teach our children, our elected officials, and everyone else we come into touch with, the Word of God follows the freedom we all desire. It cannot be any other way. Freedom is the most important thing to God's idea of what makes a true democracy. When we quote the sayings of God, we discover his way leads to freedom. God believes in freedom, as was explained in Galatians 4:26. Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. God's way leads to freedom. Your father on earth may have a few unbreakable rules, and he may have said, as long as you're living in my house, you will do whatever I tell you. Well, God is the same way. He has his rules, but his rules make room for freedom. He is making sure that you are okay. In other words, his rules are for your own good. This is what makes him so hard to understand, is he expects you to follow his rules, and at the same time, he loves you unconditionally. Unconditionally. That is remarkable. Which means that you will get into heaven if you follow him, and you will live with him for all eternity. God has made a way for you to be forgiven of all your sins. That is why he has some unbreakable commands or rules. God is indeed a long-suffering God in people's time. However, he is not permanently long-suffering in anyone's time. If you are a sinner, you must do something about it, like repent of your sin and get it under the blood of Jesus Christ. We say we live in God's temple. As long as we live in God's temple, he will have some unbreakable rules. He expects us to follow him, and when we follow him, we will have to follow his rules in order to earn his salvation. Other things God made available to us, which you can pray for in addition to salvation, is the power of God, the fire of God, God's anointing, God's healing, God's peace, God's deliverance, and the joy of the Lord. God is real. He can and he will set you free. God has promised to set you free from drugs, alcohol, and anything else you choose to be free from. God is your deliverer, and he is real. I don't know any other way to tell you this than God is real. He is not a pretend God. God is real, and you can call him on him as soon as you develop the belief that God is real. As soon as you really believe in him and call upon him, he will show up permanently in your life. I know it must be hard for you to believe in him, but God is real. Let me tell you about my firsthand experience. About 1 year ago, I had a car accident which really hurt me. I was seeing a doctor about my broken ribs, and these broken ribs were proven to be true by a medical x-ray and the pain which they caused me. During my last day in the hospital, I tried to get up 8 times. I was not able to get up due to the pain. To make a long story a little shorter, I was healed from the pain I suffered within 1 day while I was still in the hospital. I was in the doctor's office, which was about 2 weeks later. I told him I had been healed of my broken ribs, and he grabbed a hold of my chest where it had hurt and asked me how that felt. I honestly said, "I feel no pain. I feel no pain." The doctor looked at me with a look of unbelief and said, "I guess you were healed." That was not the only miracle. I received a $10,000 donation from a lady in Florida. As I joked about this, I said, "I guess now we will have to get a donation of more than $100,000. So I will know what the record is and that I am making progress." I recently heard about a donation of $140,000 coming to me, and it has been confirmed, and I will receive $140,000 from my mother's estate around the 1st of August. I looked at this money with a remarkable attitude. First was an attitude of gratitude, and secondly, I saw the money as being for my ministry and not for myself. God reminded me about the statement I had made when I received the $10,000 donation, and he made me think, okay, here it is. When I realized God had heard me, I knew it was God, and he was real, but not the way I envisioned money would come to me, but it is God's way. When it comes to asking myself about how long and who I will serve, I said, "I will serve God until the day I die." That is who you are called to serve to with all of your heart. Your purpose in life is very simple. You are called to serve God. People are generally confused about who to serve. And as a man, you are to serve your wife and take care of her on this earth. At the same time, your purpose in life must be to serve God. You are serving God when you remember God's ways are higher than yours. You must be willing to think about him every minute of every day. You must think about God on your job while making certain that you are really serving him. You may meet people who need Jesus every day in their life if you pay attention. You will want to do everything his way. I do think of God or Jesus Christ every day, and in every way possible. Your purpose in life, your job, is to serve the King of Kings. I can think of a lot worse people for you to serve. For example, if your purpose in life was to serve the devil, it would be a lot worse. You can serve one or the other because that is the way it is. For me to serve God means I will think of God before everyone else, and it is my purpose to serve God. How else could I behave? What else would it mean if my purpose is to serve God? I am at an age where I can serve just God and just Jesus Christ. I have been at this point in my life and have been serving only God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit for years and years. We are given the same power as God. You are equipped with the ability to have all of God's power. Why would I want to serve anyone else? Due to the God I serve, I have God's salvation, the power of God, the fire of God, God's anointing, the healing power of God, the peace of God and God's deliverance, and the joy of the Lord. God has given me all of these things. For these reasons, I serve Him. He promised all of them and delivered them. God is alive and real. One of the most important things that I have discovered is that younger Americans, know very little about our form of government, and they probably would not agree with very many of the ideas that I share. This is why they are so important. It would help if they had all lived at the same time as I lived. Then they would understand where we are coming from and what led us to those conclusions. Instead, they point to our earlier history and say, "This is America, and it will always take care of us." They are not taught the same as I was, so they are oblivious to how we and why we developed as we did. They are just plain oblivious to why we developed as we did. I am really not against those that are young. I cannot watch them be so oblivious to the facts and saying stupid things. Maybe they were not taught the same things I was taught in public elementary school. The most important thing is it all comes down to the U.S. having our freedom. As we have forgotten God and become a nation of unbelievers, God is not amused with us. In fact, He has promised us He will strike at the U.S. if we do not repent and turn back to Him. Our government must not tell Americans which laws are just and which laws are not just. That is not their role. It is the role of Americans to let the government know what laws are just. Our government must not punish American citizens for exercising their freedom of free speech. It is the role of Americans to be proud of our Constitution, because our founders made us proud of them. Our government must not tell Americans we must choose between making a living and living free. We want to make a living by living free, and America must be free to live out their faith in every area of their life, including their ability to run their businesses. Let me tell you, these are really high stakes. If our government can force us to forget any part of our deeply held convictions, there will be no stopping the liberties the government can take from you. We are rather close to being at war with our federal government. We must take a stand for freedom, which is protected by our Constitution. And we must stand for our Constitution. We must get back to what our founders and the greatest generations of Americans believed in and defended. The greatest generation of Americans was the generation which fought in World War II, according to one famous author. They thought that about their freedom regularly, which they enjoyed. They must have said to their enemies in World War II, "Oh no, you won't take our country from us, because we are American, and we have come to love what it means for us to live free. We have defeated all those who dared to try our hand so far. We tried communism in the early days, and it failed miserably. Our freedom means life itself to all of us. We must get back to having our freedom in the role of being the most important standard to all Americans once again. We are the only country to take a stand for freedom, and look what it meant. We became the leader, the number one country in the world. One of the things we should do battle against is the current president who says things like, you should not be proud of your country because you have nothing to be proud of. I don't know about you. I have plenty to make me proud of America. I am very proud of America, and I do not understand why I would not be proud of America and what she has accomplished. It doesn't matter what you say. I will never understand why I should not be proud of America and what she has accomplished. In the 50s, I was taught by all of my public elementary teachers to be proud of America. I was taught by my public elementary teachers to believe in my country and in God. I was taught this in my public elementary school, and the pride has stuck with me. In fact, it is even greater today. I live in the best country the world has ever known. Having freedom, democracy is the most sought after form of government by everyone today. I ask you to help me help the United States of America to regain our freedom and our belief in God, which we once were proud, so proud to display. Our founding fathers were proud of our Constitution, which they believed in. They were ready to make the Constitution a display of our freedom and the freedom to believe in God. We were so proud of our Constitution, written by God. I believe God sent His Holy Spirit down to earth and put words in the minds of our founding fathers. Thus, God wrote our Constitution, guaranteeing the passage of our Constitution. It also led to us believing in freedom and in God. God believes in our freedom when He says in Galatians 4:26, Jerusalem, which is above, is free. It means that God believes in freedom and He wants His people to live in a free country on earth. In our founders' time, nearly everyone went to church every Sunday. Whether we know it or not, now is the time for us to return to a belief in God. If we do not, we will suffer consequences just like ancient Israel did when they were spread across the globe. If you are going to spend the amount of time dedicated to God as you spend golfing or at the gym to keep fit, where would it lead? This is to say nothing of the amount of time which we spend in watching TV or answering text messages or the amount of time we invest in working with our computers. If you would invest this time dedicated to your religion, your church, and helping people, what could you get done? If you decide to live like Jesus Christ, what could you get done for the Lord? If you have I have a question for you. Why don't you live like Jesus Christ would have you live today? If you are too busy to help the King of Kings, maybe he will be too busy to help you when you really need him to be your Lord and Savior. We all will need him someday. Do you want to be the one who will call on the name of the Lord and he will not respond to you because he does not know you, like those in Matthew 7:22 and 23? Many will say, "Have we not prophesied in your name? And have we not in thy name cast out devils? And have we not done many wonderful works in your name?" In Matthew 7:23, Jesus said, "And then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity." Maybe you could help those who just need to talk, or those in prison. Maybe you could help those who are addicted, or those who need a Savior like Jesus Christ. But first, you must rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, or you may make a confession to Jesus for the first time. Come to the altar and rededicate your life to Jesus, or if you are to make a first-time salvation, come to the altar. We will say the prayer of salvation found in Romans 10:9-13. Just come. Just come to the altar. Come and repeat after me. Your word says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You are saved right now, and it is just the beginning. You will want to do everything else that is required of you. You are saved right now. Thank God for your salvation. Remember to run toward Jesus and not away from him, for he is your help in a time of trouble. This is Pastor Don Swarthout saying so long for now.
This has been Crave's Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout from Pensacola, Florida. We pray that today's program has been a blessing to you. For more information, visit us online at www.christiansforamerica.com. Once again, that's Christians, the number four, America.com. Or visit thegospeltruthcenter.com. We would love to hear from you. You can write Pastor Swarthout at 4677 Belvedere Circle, Pace, Florida, 32571. Or you can email Pastor Don at swarthout5, that's the number 5, at AOL.com, or call 850-736-8613. Once again, that's 850-736-8613. Thank you for listening to Crave's Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout. We look forward to hearing from you.